Welcome to the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Committee Podcast. I'm your host, Patrice Sage, and we are here on, part 15 of the Nehemiah Respond to the Joint Float Incident Podcast. Charles, you are the 15th interview that we've done. We actually began with you and Wendy.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm sorry?
I said, you've been working hard.
I've been working hard, my friend. So when Urban Impact Vision is launched and you're big and famous, don't forget a little us. Okay.
Listen, I'm riding the wave. I'm attached to the whale. That's why I'm over here. You're a whale, Doc.
I love it. Well, you guys know Charles Kearse, but I do want to share a bit about him. So we are in part 15. So we almost done with our series. So this week is our last wrap, but we may have one more next week, but we're wrapping our series. And we've been doing a discussion series around the George Floyd incident, providing solution, providing perspectives and insight. And thank you for all of you who share how helpful this has been and how much you appreciated the different take at it and how much you've gone deep. Some of you guys have watched all the podcasts. Some of you guys have cherry picked. We've gotten some comments, mostly great comments. And by the way, share these podcasts with as many folks as you can, because we're going to change perspective. We've got to change the conversation by providing deep. So today, I've asked my good friend Charles to be in studio because we wanted to do a podcast where we totally focus on what exactly is the Urban Impact Vision. And in part, because as you guys have been kind of hearing us talk about the Urban Impact Vision, we wanted to make sure that we give Charles a chance to really explain what is it. And some of you guys who've been appreciative of our direction, our strategy, we wanted to make sure that you understood exactly how to engage in it. Because as we wrap up the podcast, we're going to get into the specific implementation of the impact of the Urban Impact Vision. Because here's the deal. When we began this podcast, here's what we kind of committed to. When we began this response, we committed to, number one, providing a podcast interview of different perspectives of individuals who can share different insights, solutions, and encouragement or in perspective around this whole issue of George Floyd, race relation, and justice in America. We've also said that we're also going to release a devotional series called Journey to Freedom, which would be a framework for redemptive dialogue on race and justice. We began with The Dream a couple of weeks ago. This week we had The Betrayal. Next week we're going to have The Struggle, and we're just providing a different take at it and having a tool for you to dialogue with friends and family around this issue. Once we're done with the devotional series, we're going to transform it into a small group study to continue that process. And it's actually going to flow through the Urban Impact Vision, as you see, as Charles is here. And then we also committed to relaunch, if you will, or reignite our urban initiative now under Charles Kearse, that we've called now. Charles brought the new name, Urban Impact Vision. He'll tell you why he's coined it as Urban Impact Vision. And Charles will be the head of that. It's a part of the Nehemiah Project Family Ministries, but headed by Charles, and we're going to support him in that launch. Our whole focus is to help Charles do this on a full-time basis, not only in the United States of America, but also eventually internationally. And I mean, he'll tell all about what he's doing there. So that's kind of what we're going to kind of conclude with. But then lastly, Charles is going to now partner with strategic leaders around the nation, urban leaders, to really look at how do we train entrepreneurs and support businesses around the country, right? So that's what it's about. So that's why we have Charles here today to begin to talk about what does it look like. Let me tell you a bit about Charles, and I'm going to read his full bio only because I want you to know who he is, and then he'll talk a bit more about it. So Charles Kearse has inspired thousands of people with his unique blend of keynote presentation and workshop. He is a great presenter and speaker. He has the uncanny ability to connect with a variety of audiences and discuss universal messages about winning in life, leadership, entrepreneurship, and peak performance keeps him in constant demand as an inspirational speaker. Charles is such a time as this choice for groups wanting a motivational speaker who transforms, educates, entertains, and inspires. Let me tell you how true this is. So we had one of our listeners or viewers heard our Charles, one of the podcasts that Charles did. And literally I went to meet with him. He said, "Who is this Charles Kears guy?" I was a little bit jealous there. I said, "Dang." And so literally I called Charles right there with him. And he was like, he's talking to a rock star or something. So Charles, you've got to come to Vancouver, man, to call him because you got a fan base here. Charles is currently serving as the Nehemiah Project International Director of Impact, Urban Impact Vision. For more than 30 years, he has connected companies with community organizations achieving the shared goals of doing good while turning a profit. Charles believes that community engagement is a competitive business strategy that can no longer be overlooked. Born and raised in Brooklyn, New York's inner cities, Charles has achieved a level of success few would have expected by the age of 15. By the age of 15, he began helping people discover the better way. Charles has planted 4 life-changing churches, started several successful businesses, and created an inner city transformational process called Pathways to Victory. Not bad for a kid who did not meet his father until the age of 32 and whose single mother depended on public assistance and food stamps to raise him and his older brother. He's come a long way from the humble beginnings to achieving the level of success many only watch on television. He is one of the few success stories that has emerged out of one Brooklyn's worst neighborhoods. Thinner Project in Brooklyn. Charles managed to escape the poverty, drugs, gangs, and violence all too familiar to us who watch the evening news. Charles has dedicated his life to helping people eliminate the ghetto mentality by helping to transform minds, help people see what the problems they are facing are really opportunities in disguise. He believes that a problem plus a solution, I love this, equal scalable business. Mm-hmm. Charles is currently developing a cluster of business services that help existing businesses save time, put the proper team in place, and grow revenues. His company helps aspire and empower emerging urban entrepreneurs to get the real game of business. And Charles is also an Army guy. Charles, first of all, thank you for your service in our military.
Thank you.
Charles, first of all, I'm personally grateful to you for your selflessness and your willingness to come alongside us at Nehemiah Project and bring this vision forward. You actually were the instigator originally of the original urban initiative because you connected me with Bishop Wiggins, mm-hmm. In Atlanta. But what I love about you is that you're selfless. You connect people and you don't really care about getting the credit or being involved in it. You're like there as a servant, and if people use you, great. If don't, you move on. Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny and interesting how the Lord works, mm-hmm. that years later you come back and take your baby back, what was intended. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how do you feel? I mean, you have to see the sovereign work of God in that situation. Let's talk about it a little bit. I mean, how do you feel about kind of that full circle?
Well, Patrice, first of all, thank you for having me and doing this podcast. It has been absolutely amazing, the journey that I've been on. Now, it's not been all peaches and cream, mind you, because my journey out of Brownsville, Tilden Projects, Brooklyn, New York, getting away from the fray, as I call it, and moving on and getting a scholarship and a financial aid package to play at American International College, play football, and then journey into the Midwest, the University of Tulsa, through the military, then my time spent at Rhema Bible College, all prepared me to pastor the church that I planted, the first church we planted in an inner city environment there in Springfield, Massachusetts. And we always had an affinity for the inner cities because they were the underdog. And what God was doing was showing me myself multiplied. So if you go back when all of this started and took place when I was 13 years old, and I was misbehaving and doing things with individuals that I had no business doing. And as we look at where I am today, positioned for this opportunity to provide leadership for this vision that you and the team and the donor base are committing to. So it's going from an initiative to a vision, because now the baby is ready to be matured and brought to full fruition so that we can accomplish a worldwide vision of eliminating ghettos or impacting and transforming urban communities worldwide. So for me, it's exciting. It's nice to follow God, and particularly because we walk by faith and not by sight. And it's not been easy. And I tell every entrepreneur, every ministry that we work with, that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be the time of your life. It's going to be the adventure of your life. And so buckle up and allow God to take you where He needs you to be. And when you do that, you'll wind up having the impact that He's called you to have.
Wow. Charles, it seems like as a kid, even though you were in a ghetto environment, single mother, the ghetto was not in you for sure. And your circumstance did not really define how you saw life. But what made a difference? I mean, how does a kid in that environment not allow the environment to consume them?
Well, and I always say to everyone, when we look at the news and we look at what's happening in the world and we look at the tragedies that are happening, the murder of a George Floyd, I simply say, but for the grace of God, there go I. And if it were not the hand of God upon my life and the timing of which God pulled me out of the environment. So we were raised in an environment where that lifestyle, the ghetto lifestyle, was prevalent. We didn't come from a lot of means. We had love, but family we were street hustlers. We knew how to do the streets very well. My dad, who I didn't later on get to talk to and meet until I was 32, I met him once when I was 5. Well, he was on his number route, one of the biggest bookies in Brooklyn, New York. And so for me, as I began to follow the wrong people, I did dive into that mentality, thinking, well, I got to go out and make money by hurting people and taking stuff that wasn't mine. It didn't belong to me. But God arrested me. And it was that epiphany, that moment in time when God spoke to me as I was mugging someone and had him in a headlock. God said, there is a better way. And for now over 45 years, He's proven the better way. And even now, He's showing me that the best is still yet to come as I follow Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and follow Him based upon not, you know, some wooey experience, but follow Him based upon the word of God, because God is a God of covenant. And so as I stand upon the word of God and attempt to build my life on the word of God, I find myself in a position to bring deliverance to other people that find themselves with no hope, find themselves with no direction, because that was me. But they'll have a moment in time where they'll get to choose whether they follow Jesus or not, because that's God made it clear. He says, Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. No man can come unto me except the Father draws him. And so He drew me in and then He pulled me out. And I believe that He's positioned me for such a time as this.
That's for sure. You know, Charles, you are on a screen because I've known you for a while, but I didn't quite know. I didn't quite understand the depth of not only your experience, but the impact you've made over the years. Until, as we've been working through this, the people that I've gotten to know who follow you, the people I've gotten to know who've been blessed by you, people who are now PhDs and in all these positions, who you raised up, mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. I mean, this, how do you know a leader is anybody following? And you have fruits and evidence of your ministry scattered all throughout the nation. So I guess my question to you is, when you look back at how God has used you, are you surprised at all, or was that something that when your life changed at that moment when you had that guy in the headlock that you kind of saw what God was going to do? Because see, Your body's done great things, but there's some thing, great thing you've done in the last several years.
Well, you know, just simply following God. And as I was following, because remember, my family didn't go to church. And so the things that I learned from scripture. And then the every step of the way, the Holy Spirit was guiding and leading my footsteps. And even when he called me into ministry, another epiphany that happened, it was a very specific call. And that call was to an urban environment back into Brownsville, where I went to Brownsville Community Baptist Church, a church that the Holy Spirit led me. Well, I'll say the Holy Spirit led me to go to church. He told me that I needed to go to church. He didn't specifically tell me what church to go to. However, I went to the church where in New York, they don't have, you know, typically the church doesn't have, in Brooklyn anyway, don't have parking lots. And so the church that's doing anything, the cars are double and triple parked along the streets. And so this particular church was around the corner from where my mother's apartment was. And they had cars double and triple parked. And then they had pretty women going into church. So I knew that I was called to that church because I was like, okay, you can see I was very spiritual and I wasn't, right? And so the thing is, as I continue to follow God, he specifically told me that he had an assignment for me to do in that community. Now, the leaders of the church wanted me to become a pastor or pastor in training so that I can go the ministry route. But I bucked that because I had an affinity for business at that time at 13 and 14 that I wanted to live out. So when I went to school, instead of going to a Bible school or a ministry school at first, I went to a regular secular school to learn business. Mm-hmm. And so it was during that time that, again, God has identified the gifts that he's put in me. I'm using those gifts and just following him. And as I follow him, and again, the road hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it. And so that's what I tell people all the time. If, in fact, you'll follow after God and he'll lead you where he wants you to go, whether it's in business, ministry, or both. I believe right now the hour is for both, that we'll do what we call pastorpreneurship and we'll do evangelpreneurship, and that we're taking charge of the marketplace to bring light in a very dark world. And God leads his children into that if they will just follow him and be led by the Spirit of God. And of course, he'll confirm it with his words.
I love it. Now, Junior, where you been? So Junior Anderson, I think it's the right Junior. This is, Junior, this is you from Atlanta. Just say yes, is the right Junior. Junior is a biblical entrepreneur out of Atlanta. Here's what Junior said, and he's from Brooklyn. So Junior said, I grew up on Prospect Place, between Utica. So do you know what that is, Junior?
Yeah.
He said, covered in his blood all through my life, my early childhood. Oh my God, it is Junior. And so he knows exactly what you're talking about. He said, walking with the Father is the key to avoid traps of the enemy. Thinking like God and only doing as he says would keep you out of the hands of the enemy. To live into our 50s is an accomplishment in itself. Our purpose is a prize. Find your purpose and find life. Now, Junior, if you mean what I said, if you mean what you just said, I want you to contact Charles Kears, because you got to be part of this urban initiative, urban impact vision, because Charles is about to do what I couldn't do. I started in the urban community. But my grace, you know, was more national and global. But Charles, he has the grace for the niche markets, man. And you know, I just don't. But so Charles, so Junior, I invite you to connect with Charles, so you can be part. I think Junior was even a certified trainer was at one time. But anyway, so. So Junior, good to have you. Thanks for watching.
Tell Junior to come on home. We're building the team. I know exactly where he grew up because my mother had 12 brothers and sisters. So I've got a tribe of cousins, and he probably knows some of my cousins in different parts of Brooklyn because we all grew up there. So Junior, come on back home, man.
Wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. I love it. He said he is an inspiration and a reflection of me at a high level. All right, so Charles, let's kind of talk about this George Floyd incident, and we're going to get into the vision of the Urban Initiative, the Urban Impact Vision. So first, it was a weekend. You and I had talked the week prior, and you pretty much gave me an offer I couldn't refuse, or at least I didn't refuse. Mm-hmm. And we decided to partner up for you to come in. And here's what's powerful about this. He's raising his own money. He's coming in total sweat to make this happen. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, the opportunity cost is huge. And you said, but let me come in and build the urban impact, the urban division on the enterprise. He said, I can do it on my own, mm-hmm. but we can do it together. And that was like, I think Thursday. Mm-hmm. The George Floyd thing happens that weekend. I'm watching television. I look at my, I said, we got to do something. I called you. I said, man, you're up for bad because something is happening around the nation that we cannot sit back and do nothing. And I invited you on the podcast on that Monday, you and Wendy Clem, mm-hmm. to talk about what we're going to do. And I laid out a framework that you embrace. So since then, you've seen the podcast we put out. You've kind of seen some of the guests we've had have been your friends. Mm-hmm. So how do you think, first of all, what is, just in case people didn't watch the original podcast, but go back and watch the early podcast with Charles when we first started this. What's your take on what's going on, Charles, and how the nation's taking it? And then how do you think about how we've done so far in our response?
So my take on the George Floyd murder, because that's what it was. It was murder in broad daylight. I've got a different take on a couple of things. Number one, the audacity of the devil. This is a spiritual battle. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and more, and have it more abundantly. And the devil kills someone, murders someone in broad daylight in the view of cameras and people watching. That is the devil personified, right? That's the devil embodying an individual that allows himself to be used that way. Like we can be used by God, we can be used by the devil. However, when I see George, I see myself there because, but for the grace of God, there go I. Growing up as a black man in America in Brooklyn, New York, we encountered racism, desegregation, being bussed in under police escort. I've been racially profiled. I've been followed around in some of New York's finest stores and stores all over the world just because I was a black man walked in the store. Now, mind you, I had the resources to buy what I wanted. I wouldn't have went in the store because I don't like to shop. I'm not the shopping guy. I'm a buyer. When I go in, I know what I want. But on the flip side of that, I was also the criminal that was casing the store to rip it off. And so there's mixed emotions on my part. First of all, people were ignited. This thing, this tipping point that we're in is ignited and people are angry about bad cops because they're not angry about all cops because all cops are not bad. You're bad mm-hmm. if you participate in the crime. You're implicated by not doing anything. And so that makes you one of the bad cops. And so we've got to recognize that position, that office of protection is something that God has ordained for the protection of all of his people. And we've got to do everything again by the word of God. And so as I look at this, I say, OK, here's what we need to do in response, not so much in reaction. And simply put, I just kept doing what it is that God had put in my life over years. You know, I went up the mountainside and went and was on the top of the mountain as I was a pastor of four congregations at once, literally flying in helicopters from one location to the next, driving, being driven, escorted to different places, have preached in mega churches and know some of the mega pastors around the country. And have, ministered in Africa and well received there. In fact, Patrice, I never told you that they changed my name in Nigeria because when I went, they gave me a name, Tedema. And it's one of the tribes there. It means Joseph has come. And so it's apropos that we'll be doing that series. But your response and Nehemiah's response to this, I believe is spot on. Because again, if we understand the opportunity that is presented to us in the form of a problem. And I put it that way on purpose. Now, many people say, well, you see an opportunity in someone's murder. Yes, I see that at the end, what the devil meant for evil, God is going to use it for good. And now this tipping point has young leaders out in the street. Now, they're leaders and don't really have a lot of direction as to how we're going to overcome. The issue is how we're going to overcome, not how we're going to stay in it. The scripture talks about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't stay in the valley. I'm coming out because I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail and on top and not beneath. And so Nehemiah's response is clear to this as we have set goals to help entrepreneurs and serve entrepreneurs to provide biblically sustainable solutions in urban communities. What urban communities need more than anything else, they need a sustainable economy where we own the businesses. We don't just need jobs. Jobs are just the start. It gets us going, but that's not where we end. Robert Kiyosaki in his cash flow quadrant talks about being employed, being an employee, but moving into the self-employment quadrant, then moving into the business quadrant, and then becoming an investor. Now, I'll submit to you that we need to be in all four quadrants at once, particularly if you're in an environment where there is oppression and depression and systematic racism and all those things. I'm not saying that they don't exist, but if you're a kingdom entrepreneur, if you're called by God, there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper and no tongue that rises up against you that won't be condemned, because God has called you to be the head and not the tail, on top and not beneath. And so as you understand this and it's in you, you'll make the right decisions, you'll make the right choices, and then you'll also not simply settle for the crumbs off the king's table because you're a king. And so I delight in joining you, Patrice, in this effort. I'm not going to be the smartest person in the room, but if you want to take a look at an urban entrepreneur that has gone through the trials, the tests, the tribulation, and I'm just getting started. On tomorrow, I've got an uncle that's turning 102 years old. So I'm believing God to stay around here until 120, and I'm just halfway through, and we're getting ready to not only launch businesses and grow businesses and scale businesses and sell businesses so that we can ignite the power of the free enterprise system, ignite the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to not only transform inner cities or urban communities here in America, but all over the globe. And I'm looking forward to going back to Africa to do this with you, King, my King Patrice. He's a king from Royal.
Let's do it. This is awesome. I'm going to bring Joseph back home. I'm going to bring.
That's right, God. Let's go. I'm ready.
You know, it's interesting because Junior said you are an inspiration and a reflection of him at a higher level. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Did you know Junior prior to this?
No.
That's incredible. Well, yeah. That's incredible. And Junior doesn't say a word. So Junior, connect with him, man. So, but Charles, you've heard some of the podcasts we've done. So what did you think of some of the interviews and what did you, what was the thing that impressed you the most, if you will, or which one did you get? Did you kind of, if you had to kind of just pull some of them and say, hey, I like that. Come on, pull some things for me from some of the podcast we've done in terms of which ones you thought was right on point, or some of the things that you think that came out of it for audience to hear.
Well, for me, Patrice, and growing up in New York, and I shared this story, many people think New York is a melting pot. It really isn't. It's more of a tossed salad. And Chris, our brother Chris Hood, talks about it being more of, if we want to look at a real good type of salad, it's a fruit salad. And therefore, all the fruit is able to maintain its uniqueness. And we can celebrate a banana for a banana. We can celebrate an orange for an orange, a pear for a pear, and we can appreciate that. And so even as I looked at the various podcasts and listened to the various views of the individuals that are, you know, contributing, I know one thing, that in this space, in the Nehemiah community, that we have a culture of love. Now, how that love plays out, it'll be different because we come from different environments. But in order for us to be maximized as a community, we've got to get to know each other and we've got to have these dialogues. And we can't be afraid that if I don't agree with you on your political stance or if I don't see what you're doing in the business realm, that then I'm going to be ousted. You know, because here's the thing. Again, the target market that we're going after, the target looks like me. It looks like the guy that was misbehaving in the streets, that didn't have a father and a mother, that did not have the greatest education. We were bussed in to desegregate schools in 1974 when it was law. It became a law in the United States in 1954. And so we were discriminated against, but then we had to go in under police escort and we had to get to know people. So part of my skill set is that, you know, I wanted to do things after school. And so I had to stay in the community and I didn't have police protection. So I had to make I had to make friends with all the Italians that were in the community so I can play football, because football practice was after the police and everybody cleared out. And so by making friends and then, of course, being a Christian and loving people, that's the key here. Loving people and allowing God to melt people's heart and change and transform people's hearts. Because you can't legislate love. You can't legislate hate. You can't legislate it away. I mean, you can put laws and, you know, penalties in place and what have you. But at the end of the day, it's the love of God that melts the heart of people. And so when I look at those podcasts and I listen to the various ones, I appreciate every one of them, Patrice, for their contribution. But here's what I want them to also do with what we're doing with this urban impact vision. Here's the reason why I call it a vision versus an initiative. An initiative is we're going to get it started. But you've made a commitment that this thing is going to stand. I am giving my life to do what God did with Nehemiah over the next 52 days, and we'll do 52 day sprints, agile startups, and we're going to see God do miracles in 52 day increments. But then it really took Nehemiah to get that whole, the wall built, the city set up, the people, their debt canceled, the people working together for 12 years. So Patrice, you've got before at least 12 years on this vision, and we're going to hammer down on this vision. But here's what I want to say. We cannot do this vision by ourselves. We need every one of our brothers and sisters that you brought on the podcast, the pastors, the leaders, the entrepreneurs. We need every one of them to contribute their uniqueness, their value, their resources, their time, their talent, and their anointing. I call it a tag: time, anointing, and gifts. If they will contribute that, we can bring solutions to bear that will glorify the only one that should be glorified at this time. When God brings us out of this, he is the only one that should receive glory, because when we look at all of America and we look at all of the world, God didn't come out of us. We came out of God. So when we come together in unity, then God will command the blessing. God will command the anointing, and it's his anointing, his blessing, his spirit upon us that will allow us to accomplish all the things that he wants. So did I have a favorite one? No, I didn't have a favorite. I love every one of them. I can appreciate every comment, even though there were comments that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I agree to disagree without being disagreeable and walk in love, and let's work this thing out together.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Charles, you sound like a guy who's not directly face racism or police brutality, or if you have, you sound like a guy who's overcome it, who's gotten beyond it, who is, you know, you forget. Tell us a bit about, first of all, have you faced that? And if you have, how'd you get to here, and what can others learn from that experience?
Well, I'll give you two stories, and yes, I have encountered racism, and particularly You know, growing up early in those days, but then even to today, I still walk in the store and I'll get racially profiled just because of the color of my skin. But see, I'm the type of guy, if you following me in the store, I'm going to stop and I'm going to talk to you. If you pull me over as a police officer, I'm not going to disrespect you. In fact, I teach my son, who is 30 years old, we just assume the position, we have our things out, and we're going to give this man the ultimate respect because we're going to use the law to our benefit. So because we do have resources, we're not, you know, you're not going to just drag me through the law, and I'm not going to do anything stupid to give you an excuse to do something stupid to me. Okay, so stupid begets stupid, and forgive me for using that word, but my mama taught me one wrong don't make a right. And so if we're wrong, we cannot act as though we're above the law, because no one's above the law. I don't care. The president of the United States, no one's above the law. And everyone's roost is going to come to roost one day. That seed that you sow is going to come to harvest. And so I love telling this story when raising my kids. So we matriculated out of the hood and was working in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is pretty much an urban environment where the college was located. But we had grown and God had blessed us. And so we were able to move out to Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Now, Longmeadow, Massachusetts is a small little suburb there that most of the people that are making the money in Springfield live out in either Longmeadow or Wilbraham. And so we chose to live out in Longmeadow because they had great schools. In fact, we had started a private school for our kids and the kids of the church because we wanted them to have a great education. But then we started to realize the break-even point. We weren't able to sustain the level of school because we were a total private school. We weren't a charter school. And so we moved into an environment where probably 98% of the kids went to college. It wasn't a question whether you were graduating and going to college. The question is, what college were you going to? Now, mind you, me growing up in Brooklyn, that wasn't a solution. In fact, I was the first generational college student out of my family that went to college and then eventually graduated and went on and got my MBA and have been a doctoral candidate in a couple of systems. But the thing is that when racial profiling did happen, and you nailed you hit the nail on the head, Patrice, that I overcame it. And I taught my son, that the object of you encountering the police is not by you trying to be right. It's for you to come home. It's for you to come home alive and not in a box. And so I never forget with the Trayvon Martin incident, I was down in Orlando when that happened. And so immediately my son is actually up in Charleston, South Carolina, going to school. I get on the phone and give him the talk. Every black man that has a black son will give his kid the talk. Now, mind you, I've got a daughter and she got to talk every once in a while, but it wasn't the same talk for a black man. And I remember even in Longmeadow with those police officers that were racial profiling me when they rolled up into they didn't roll up into my driveway. They rolled up because it was private property, but they rolled up right near my driveway after having been called by another white resident of Longmeadow, Massachusetts. And they're trying to put me in a bind. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. You done ran to the wrong person. Because first of all, I'm not only an educated black man, I'm an articulate black man. And matter of fact, I'm a pastor of one of the leading churches in the community. So let me ask you, officer, Mr. Officer, do you really want to do this? Imagine pulling Al Sharpton or, you know, Jesse Jackson in his heyday, or Dr. Martin Luther King. Do you really think about what you're doing? And that's what we have to be able to empower our young men and women to do, to get people to think in the moment. Let me digress for a minute, Patrice. This George Floyd thing has been made to be a racial incident. Personally, I don't believe it's all about race. Now, is race included in it? Yes. But if you start to follow the story or dive into it, if you care to, I don't care to, because again, my position on it is my position on it based upon the word of God. But the police officer and George Floyd knew each other from previous work engagements. Mm. And they also worked for a Hispanic woman at the club that was burnt down.
Wow.
So if it was just about race, the that would have never happened because of the polarization of the races. But this probably was more of a personal vendetta that created this tipping point. Well, I thank God for the tipping point, but the question is, what are we going to do coming out of this environment, of this hostile environment? And I want to bring up later on, and if we have time, to talk about the Bubba Wallace incident with NASCAR and the noose and all those types of things. Again, when the problems present themselves, remember, two polarizing forces, light and darkness. The question is, what side will you err on? I'm going to err on the side of God. I'm going to err on the side of love, because when I do that, I know that God has gotten me through every racial profiling, every a negative encounter with the police, and I've not had a whole bunch of, because I know how to be respectful. I'm a person that gives respect to authority. I know how to yield myself to authority as a military man, and those things have gotten me very far in life, and I try to pass that on to young people, because young people need the wisdom of the age. The young people that are on the street right now, they need wisdom. And so that's what we're here to do with the Nehemiah Project, with the Urban Impact Vision, is to give wisdom so that everyone can make it home alive and everyone can fulfill their God-given destiny.
I love it. With that, I want to now share the vision. But let me read this. Junior, is Junior the only one listening to us today? Thank you, Junior. For the others are shy. Come on, guys. Share your comments or questions for Charles. So here's what Junior said. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear.
Yes, sir.
So fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has been perfected in whoever fears has not been perfected in love, love is power. Oh, wow. What good wisdom. Thank you so much, Junior. So let's talk about vision. So what is the Urban Impact Vision, and where are you taking us, Charles?
Sure. You know, the Urban Impact Vision is birthed out of the book of Nehemiah. It's, and God has given you and made you, I believe, Patrice, a modern day Nehemiah. So we're going to have to rebuild the walls of protection. And that walls of protection starts from a spiritual standpoint, but it also is an economic protection. And I want to just put a thought in the minds of the people. Black Wall Street. I went to University of Tulsa, and then I went to Rhema Bible College out in Broken Arrow, which is a suburb of Tulsa. And Black Wall Street has the history of being one of the most prosperous Black communities ever built, but it was destroyed because of racism. And prior to the racism, because of foolishness, someone accused a young man of trying to make advantage to a Black man trying to make advantage to a white woman. You know, that's not an issue today in this world. My son married a white woman. He's a Black man, marries a white woman. I'm going to have the Black man in America with my grandchildren. That's, we're going to see how that's going to go. How light, it depends on how light they come out, how dark they come out. So we're going to have fun with that, because I enjoy, I just love people. So when you think about this vision, we can now take what the principles of Nehemiah, and then we tie it to, if you read Isaiah 61, it has the vision line upon line, precept upon precept as to what we're going to do. And I believe God will lead us through that. And so in when you have time, please read that, and let's have some dialogue, converse around Isaiah 61, because you'll see it. But as it pertains to the natural side of this vision, it's simply to transform the urban marketplace with the gospel of Jesus Christ, one urban leader and entrepreneur at a time. This is the vision of Nehemiah. Our goal is to create a community of urban impact kingdom business stewards that provide God-honoring products and services in a God-honoring way and contributing to the fulfilling of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We're not getting off of our mission because the devil has caused this ruckus over here and this noise over here. We have the Great Commandment, and that's to love God with everything that's within us, and then to love ourselves as we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And then the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I'll submit to you that we cannot go ye in all the world and preach the gospel broke, because we don't have a broke gospel. We have a gospel that empowers people to win. And so our vision on the urban impact side is to find, develop, and deploy 1,000 emerging urban entrepreneurial leaders. And I take my time with that because I want you to know that these leaders will have, they'll come out of the dirt of the urban communities, out of the dirt of the inner cities. And we'll raise them up from the ground up. But this is not just a ground up movement. This is a ground up and a top down. And we're going to see what God's going to do in the middle when we meet in the middle, and God will have an explosive force and do something marvelous for us, because we'll be at that time dwelling together in unity. And that's what we're about. We're about, you know, part of this strategy is the Talking Drum Cafe. I call it the Starbucks of the inner city. In fact, I love Howard Schwartz's book, the founder and CEO, former founder and CEO of Starbucks, who, by the way, came out of Canarsie, where I went and did my junior high school, Bildersee, where we were bussed in under police force. In fact, Howard Schwartz is from the projects of Canarsie. I was from the projects of Tilden. Different kind of projects, different kind of environment, but his story is relevant because he's a white guy coming out of the projects, make good. Also, just FYI, one of the chief justices on the Supreme Court came out of the same Bildersee Junior High School that I came out of. So great things do come out of Brooklyn. So I'm looking forward to leading this vision to greatness and being a part of what you're doing, Patrice, worldwide, because you have a worldwide vision to accomplish what God has put into your heart. And we're going to get this thing done, not because of us, but in spite of us, and because of the great hand of our God to do good. He'll make us successful in accomplishing this great work.
Wow. I love it. I mean, I want to be a part. All right, so Junior, you got to reach out to our office, man, so you can connect with Charles. So Charles, do you see this? How do you see this having an impact in our social and racial issues? If so, how?
Oh, yeah. I'll just say that it can, it will. Yes, we can. And when I say we, I mean the body of Christ recognizing her responsibility and bringing people together, not polarizing people, not dividing people. That's the devil's MO, divide and conquer. But Jesus has called us together, and he says, as we love one another, then the world will know that we're his disciple for the love that we have one for another. And as we do that, we're going to see people get born again. Those that are far from Christ are going to be connected to Christ Jesus. We're going to see them raised up in Christ, and we're going to see presidents and senators and police chiefs and leaders of nations and governors. We're going to see people emerge from these inner city, these urban environments, and they will bring solutions that have been locked up because we've kept the diamonds in the rough. We've got to get the diamonds out of the rough, and we've got to clean them up, and we've got to allow them to shine and reflect the light of Jesus Christ into dark areas. And that's what will happen with this vision, because it'll be a supernatural but a natural thing. It's a combination of God. We're doing our part on the natural. We're training, we're finding, developing. We're doing our part. We're engaging them. We're helping them to get the success routine, the success mentality, the entrepreneurial mindset. And then God puts his super upon that natural, and it becomes a supernatural force for God. And it will change the world forever. And that's what I'm believing in Jesus' name.
Amen. Wow. How could you not come behind this leader just with such passion to them? So Charles, right now you recruited, I believe, 9 coaches, urban coaches that we're training right now, mm-hmm. who soon you're about to launch a group coaching program called Business Success Accelerator.
Yes, sir.
If we just divide those, let's say 2x2s, that's about 4 to 5 groups. If we each one is 12, that's about close to 60 plus urban entrepreneurs in the next 12 months. That's been just by those people. If they do multiple groups, you can go from there. Talk to our audience a bit. So the next 12 months, because I'm going to have you on the podcast here at least once a quarter to update our friends. And we want you guys to participate, contact our office, reach out so we can connect with Charles. The next 12 months, what do you hope to accomplish with this Urban Impact Vision?
So, and I'll be conservative with this. First of all, we want to see that we increase the online engagement into the Nehemiah community. You've set up the platform in such a way, you and the team have set it up so that we can become the Facebook for Christ followers. You know, I'm all good with Facebook and being out there making a whole bunch of noise, but we need to support each other and grow each other so that we can see us mature spiritually and become everything that God has called us to be. I constantly say, I am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do, and I can have what the Bible says I have, because I've created an environment for success where the Bible is concerned. And we need to iron sharpeneth iron so that we can make sure that the gifts and talents that God has put into the body of Christ. And so with our team, we're anticipating to open up 3 to 5 e-community centers, which will be in the form of the Talking Drum Cafe. There'll be business centers, and we'll be able to launch in various communities. We're looking at right now Springfield, Massachusetts, of course, Charlotte, North Carolina. We're looking to have an impact in Jacksonville, Duval County, and then also down in Orlando and Tampa. And so we've got the community set up, and we've got systems and processes of engagement to empower people. And so when we do this and we get these 100 urban entrepreneurs over the next 12 months, because we're going to be aggressive with this, and because we have the ability based on the systems and the process that you've put in place, Patrice, and as we do that, we expect to help to create at least 1,000 new jobs and relaunch businesses that are going to close as a result of this COVID-19. We're going to support them, and we're going to help to grow them, and we're going to attract people. We're going to attract companies that will support us to help to transform this environment that we're in, because nobody likes the hostility that we're in. Nobody wants to continue to go based on this segregation and this bigotry and what has happened in the past. Listen, the Apostle Paul says, I forget those things that are behind, but he remembered every principle. He remembered every experience. That's why he wrote the book, so that we can understand the experience, the suffering that he went through. And as he came out of that, he always came out with a mindset of victory, a mindset of an entrepreneur, I believe, because again, he was able to turn problems into solutions. And therefore, we're going to see this happen. It's going to be, you know, the Bible is still being written. And we're going to see these live stories. We're going to capture the stories of these entrepreneurs, and we're going to put them out, and you'll see them on social media. But we get to do that in the incubator of the e-community, and we're going to see great things launched out of it.
I love it. I love it. One of the things that Charles shared with me, he says, you know, Patrice, I like to do a podcast just for the urban community. So be on the lookout once he's ready. We're gonna spin off a podcast where Charles will be interviewing urban entrepreneurs and urban leaders, and also friends of the urban community. And by the way, urban doesn't just mean Black, you know. He shares some success stories of urban leaders who are white, who came out of urban communities. What I love about Charles, he really thinks broadly. Charles, as people are listening right now, we have friends listening in. We have How can they support? I say, you know what, Frank Charles, I want in. What can they do? How can they help you?
And I don't mind you calling me Frank, because that's my accountability partner over in Kenya. So, Frank, if you're listening, man, I'm looking to get back with you, because I'm coming to Kenya, man, and help you to do what you're doing, because you're actually trailblazing and opening up the centers in Kenya. So what people can do, Patrice, I want people to consider making an investment. An investment versus giving a charitable seed. Now, you can give it as a charitable seed because of the way things are set up here in the United States. You can get a tax deduction. But I want you to make an investment in the Urban Impact Vision. And you can go on the Nehemiah Pledge and do that right now, because what we want to do with that investment, we want to not only train up the leaders, but we also want to start a micro business process whereby we can start and jumpstart our own economy and start jobs regardless of whether someone's going to give you a job. The one thing about an urban entrepreneur, we don't beg for stuff. We see opportunities, and we go out and we make things happen, and we make jobs rather than just taking job. A job is good, again, and particularly if you have a great corporate job and you've got all these great corporate benefits. I want to challenge you in this respect. Number one, you should be one of the ones that's giving into helping to shore up your own community, because don't ever forget where you've come from. But then the other part of that is the relationships that you have on corporate. We can leverage them to create this micro business wave where we're just creating these jobs to get these young men and women engaged and disciple them through our businesses. Our businesses become disciple making mechanisms. And then as we do that, you know, everybody can give what they can. And as they give what they can, we're putting together packages. Imagine being coached by Patrice in a leadership retreat where we're just, you know, a few of us are masterminding over your business to make it that multi-million dollar business. And then to exit, because now you can be free to be able to do what it is that God has called you to do. So I really want you to consider doing that. And then also just getting in with our trainers or referring some urban entrepreneur, some young person that has been struggling, trying to do this thing. Listen, entrepreneurship is not a solo game. It is a team sport, and you need to have the right team around you. And that's what we do. We help to put the dream. If you've got the dream, we help to put the team around you so that you might be successful and fulfill what it is that God has called you to fulfill.
Wow. You know, Charles, I'm younger than you, but man, your energy level makes me feel older.
Yeah, man, I'm fired up. And you said it to me the other day. You said when you're doing what you love, then it's not work. You just keep on working.
I love it. Like, it's like a brother from another mother. So the team is going to put up there a link if you want to go there and make, when you make the gift. You can sponsor an entrepreneur, actually. Just make sure, pick where it needed most, but make a note, urban impact vision. So if we get anything now, we're going to know it comes from the urban impact, but we're going to start building it for that. Soon, there's going to be a whole page just for the urban impact vision. So when this happens. So Charles, I'm going to talk to our board of directors, and we're going to talk to some of our donors and challenge them to really step up so that we can earmark matching gift to kind of begin to help get this ball rolling.
Sure.
So that we can really put some fuel behind this to really help you. You know, I remember I called you. I said, Charles, you're going to need because right now you're a one-man department. I said, you're going to eventually need an assistant. So keep that in mind, because as resources come in, you start doing where you can't, because you're so articulate, you're so passionate, such a vision guy. And so I said, you know, you can't be vision casting and strategy while at the same time doing the day-to-day tactical. And then you said, Patrice, I already got somebody. I got my wife. Let's talk about your wife, because I love, this is two for one, guys. And I know the power, because I've been doing it with my wife for over 20 years. So under the power of having a wife beside you, she comes out of corporate. So she's a highly trained, and you're going to have her along besides you. Talk a bit about her and what she brings to the table, and why would she in the world leave corporate America to come alongside to carry your back? No, I'm just joking.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing, Patrice, is that, she has a background in HR. She's a HR professional. She has her MBA in HR, and she worked for a particular company in the insurance industry for over 26 years. And so she understands the financial services space, but more so on the personnel space. So she comes along with me to help me to really galvanize the team and create the environment so that the team is able to operate and to accomplish what it is that they are called to accomplish. We're here to move barriers out of the way so that individuals, entrepreneurs, our coaches, our team can be successful in their own space. And so as she comes alongside of me, it's really all about us growing so that we can grow the tribe. And as we grow the tribe, we'll continue to grow, which then gives us longevity, long term, and whatever obstacle that we encounter as a people, it's when we come together. That's where the real success will be when we come together, husband and wives come together, family members come together and function as a team. And that teamwork, because when one is weak, the other one is strong. And when one is in doubt and saying, I don't know if this is going to happen, well, there's got to be one that's going to say, hey, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And so that's what she represents to me. And I'm so grateful to have her alongside. And you know, we're newlyweds in the sense that we're just getting started in this, because she didn't know this area of ministry for me, with me and my history. And then I didn't serve in corporate. I've served in corporate life, but not as long as she has. And so there's a great balance there.
I love it. I mean, sharp. So we're getting really a team of a dynamic professional gal with a dynamic leader, and that combination just will win. So I just want to thank your wife for not only first on allowing you to step up, but then secondly, to voting with her feet by joining along with you. She's been joining our staff meeting. She's part of the trainers getting certified, and she's just a diamond. She's also beautiful, man. You've done well, my brother.
Well, thank you, sir.
So join Charles and Charnice as they launch this ministry, which is going to be a division of the Nehemiah Project. You're going to come alongside help them. So Charles, as we close here, are you hopeful? Why, if yes, why, or if no, why not?
Well, Patrice, as you well know, that part of the strategy in Pathways to Victory includes sports, because that was my story. I tell people, listen, my ticket out of the ghetto was football. And then I developed the passport. I've got a passport to the world, which is actually golf. And so coming to North Carolina, I had the opportunity to work in the golf industry, helped to put together one of the leading charitable golf tournaments, Coach Joe Gibbs, and have an affinity for it. And you saw the other day on our staff meeting when Linda was talking about Orange County National. We'll talk offline on that again. So gained a real perspective as to what's possible with sports. And if you look at it, sports and entertainment, the mountain of sports and entertainment, if you will, the mountain of influence, people come together and they drop their differences in that environment. And so we have a real life experience right now with Bubba Wallace of NASCAR. Someone the other day in his where they pull the cars and prepare the cars to get ready to go out on the track, put a noose there, you know, a hangman noose. And obviously it was upsetting to him. But the rally of these young men and women in NASCAR. Now, mind you, this is, you know, the Tar Heels. And this NASCAR thing was brought out of the, you know, the redneck country and all the discrimination and Jim Crow and all that stuff. But yet NASCAR recognizes that there's some economic intrinsic values that can be had when we come together. So they rallied around them. And I encourage you to kind of look at that, go on YouTube. I'm sure it's out there right now, and see what happened there and see how the entire field of racers and their pit crews and everyone rallied around this young man, because he's one of the only the major black guy on a NASCAR. There are others, but he's one of the major ones. And so we can't always judge things by what we see. But here's what I know. I like Tiger Woods and Harold Varner III. They are constantly breaking down the racial barriers. And so you ask me, am I hopeful? I'm hopeful because we have a strategy. And here's one thing I know about entrepreneurs. We're always thinking 5 to 10 moves ahead. We're not worried about what's happening right now. Because if you're worried about what's happening right now, you're caught in what's happening right now. You can't provide a solution. So our answer is what's happening once we come out of this, once we conquer these barriers, once we get America moving back into the place that she was going. She was going very well. We have come a long way, baby. Yes, we do have a long way to go, and we've made great progress. So my hope doesn't lie in where we are. My hope is in the future. And God says, listen, I've got a plan and a hope for you, a plan to prosper you and to give you a prosperous future. And it took three leaders, generations of leaders, to start to rebuild that wall that God had promised them. So I've learned to walk by faith, and faith doesn't always mean that God's going to instantly do something. But he is starting the work right now, because the work always starts in me before he can get it to others. And so that's why I'm hopeful, because of the work that God is doing in me, because I could be hateful. I can be disgruntled. I could be mad at the world right now, but that's not going to benefit anybody. It's when I take the time to identify my gifts, my talents, and I say yes to the will of God. I say yes to all that God wants to do in my life and all that God is doing in my life and has done in my life. And then I know that God wants to work not only in my generation, but in generations to come. So the answer, long way of saying, am I hopeful? Absolutely. The greater one, the God of all hope lives on the inside of me. And not only are we going to get through this, but we're going to overcome and we're going to win through every trial, tribulation in America once again. Now, I don't limit it to America, because we are called to the world. And so we do have our competition cut out for us. But I believe that God's going to make nations great as a result of the things that we're suffering and dealing with today.
Wow. We got to stop there. This is incredible. Charles, would you come back? I need to have you at least once a month here on the podcast just to update the people as to how we're doing with this and for them to hear what's going on. Would you do that for me, please?
Absolutely. I'm at your service, and I'm here to serve. You ask me why? Because I see the greatness in you, and I see what God has called you to do, because you have an amazing story that the world needs to hear, and all the things that God is doing through you now, and how he's prepared you through your family, your mom, your dad, the whole lineage of royalty, and all your brothers and sisters that you have as well. Like I tell you, we got to probably be related somehow. Just to do my lineage and find out what part of Africa I'm from, but I'm sure that we related. We cousins somehow.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Wow. You got to love this guy, Charles Kears. Hey, guys, listen, join me and we can talk. But at the end of the day, we have to act. And as we begin the next several days to next week, conclude our podcast series, we want to now compel you to action. How do you act? Give, right? Go to our website, sponsor an entrepreneur, designated towards the Urban Impact Vision. Second, how do you act? Become a certified coach, become a coach, or become a trainer. Just reach out, say, I want to be a trainer to help with the Urban Impact Vision. All right, how do you act? Become a volunteer, a mentor, an intern, whatever. Matter of fact, this whole production has been managed by an intern, Kendall. She's 15 years old and she's acting to serve others. How do you act? All right, reach out to us and to Charles Kears, and then we can tell you what you can do, how you can help, so that you can make this happen. Here's how we're going to put the devil to shame. That a year from now, we can look back and say, look what God did. And it all started because the devil thought he's going to take the life of George Floyd and he's going to get us to fight each other. But instead, we came together and worked together to make America great. Well, with that said, let me leave you with this. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I want you to share it. Share it with as many people as possible, because Charles Kears and his wife, Charnice, Charisse. This is their time. This is their moment. Let's come around them and let's support them. Share this as many folks as you can so we can change the narrative and provide a positive outlook to what we can do is by building businesses, creating economic incentives, to help bring lift in urban communities, no matter what color they are. With that said, let me leave you with this. And then don't leave, because there's a video I want you to watch right away, because we're going to be talking about this at Nehemiah Week as well, where Charles is going to share the vision, where you're going to get to learn from entrepreneurs around the world. I want you to hear about it so you can join us August 10th through the 15th, all right, at Nehemiah Week digitally. But I want to leave you with this. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord enable you to steward those talents he's placed under your care. And may the Lord allow you to do it in such a way that one day, whether you're a visionary like Charles or whether you are a young entrepreneur somewhere, whatever stage you're in, you can hear those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. You hear that, Junior? You've been faithful over a few things. Guess what? Now he's going to make you rule over much. God bless you. Thank you again, Charles. Watch this video. Thank you. Nehemiah Week is an annual event designed to equip entrepreneurs and leaders from around the world, to inspire and to honor marketplace leaders for their accomplishments and what they're doing to model Christ in the marketplace.
God is doing incredible things at Nehemiah Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, God has called us to be a light for Him, to be an example for Him, to be a model for Him so that as others see us, not hear us, but see us, they can see a model of Christ.
Yeah, each year at Nehemiah Week, we gather the nations.
Our vision is to transform the marketplace with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, one entrepreneur at a time.
We have learned to do business in a godly way. I will actually spread this to our church as well.
Through the course of Nehemiah Week includes information around principles of biblical entrepreneurship, so really looking at biblical economics.
What we've learned this week is about training. Our Nehemiah project is about training and then coaching and then accessing capital.
Nehemiah gave me a godly vision. Really impacts the way that I see doing business.
Nehemiah Week not only gives birth to new ideas, it connects us with resources and relationships that makes them possible.
But what we want to do is not just affect here in the U.S., we want to take this curriculum all over the world.
Whatever it is, the question is, what impact will this have on others?
It's something that's going to change lives. So I'm ready to use whatever I have for the benefit of the kingdom of God.
I believe that the nations are going to shake because of this week. Biblical entrepreneurship takes a stand to say we are going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in the marketplace.